visiting with Bill O'Neill, CEO of Bion Environmental Technologies. Bill, let's talk about Bion itself. First of all, give us a little background.
Sure, Randy, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about Bion. So Bion Environmental Technologies has been around for quite a long time now, actually just over 30 years. And the company has always focused on providing engineering solutions related to the environment for ag, for agriculture production. Way back when, working with in Florida, for example, with the citrus and sugar industries to help solve a excess phosphorus problem that they had that was leaching into the waterways of Florida. So that was one project that that Bion took on a long time ago. Another having to do with the hog industry in North Carolina and the problems that they had back in the day with Murphy Farms and Smithfield Foods and whatnot. But and then also in Pennsylvania worked on helping Kreider Farms, a dairy in Pennsylvania. They also, it's a poultry house as well, but providing a dairy solution there to keep the nutrient flow out of the Chesapeake Bay and create a real model of there. So, and the other, about 10 years ago or so, Randy, Bion turned its focus on beef and started trying to put together a model for how the ammonia recovery system, that's what Bion's real patents and real focus is actually recovering or harvesting ammonia from any waste stream. Doesn't have to be livestock, but our focus is typically, as I said, has always been on ag, and now we're focused on how we could maybe help beef improve its environmental footprint associated with the waste stream that it creates and generates and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's a little background on Bion.
Sure. You also have a connection here to North Dakota with Dakota Valley Growers up in Bathgate.
Yeah, Russell Eggers, great guy who reached out. And again, this is it's interesting, Randy, that over the last couple of years, how different farmers and ranchers, feeders, who are really sustainably minded and looking at for, I would say, out of the box solutions, have called us looking for to try and understand exactly what we're doing. And Russell was one of those guys, and I mean, he was very passionate about wanting to get together, understand what we're doing, and see if he could work that into his system. There, he has an existing feedlot with about 5,000, maybe 3,000 to 5,000 that he's feeding, but to see if we couldn't maybe expand that on his location, and at the same time completely eliminate the environmental impacts typically associated with cattle feeding. And Randy, I'm not just talking about from a waste standpoint or from the nutrient flow, but also with the system. I mean, you also lose the odor problems that are typically associated with feed yards, as well as flies, and all of that goes away and is actually replaced, where we end up creating significant new revenues that get stacked on top of each other, that get stacked on the existing profits that Russell or that other cattle feeders have enjoyed over the years. But yeah.
Now, as far as the patents and stuff on it, I guess, how does the product work?
So, in order for us to be successful, we have to quickly collect waste as it occurs. Because if, for example, when a cow has waste in a typical feed yard, if it's dirt or concrete or whatever, if that waste is sitting on that ground or concrete for two hours or more, we've lost probably half of the ammonia that escapes to the air, as well as we've lost a lot of the methane that that our system also captures. So Randy, we actually, for the last 120 days of the finishing, we actually put the animals into barns that have slatted floors, so the waste quickly falls through and then is mechanically collected. We don't use water to flush it or whatever. We mechanically scrape and collect that, and then the waste basically enters into a anaerobic digester, and after the digester, and in the digester, obviously we're capturing the methane and converting that into biogas, and then we'll be marketing that as well. And then after the digester, that's when Bion's technology takes hold, and that's where we remove the ammonia from the digestate, from the remaining digestate, and then we combine that with CO2 that is already produced out of that digester, and which is typically just let escape to the atmosphere, and instead we collect that CO2, combine it with the ammonia molecule that we've collected in our technology, and now we have a crystallized ammonium bicarbonate that can be precisely applied on the crop, on the root that you want to grow. And obviously then you don't have, it is all readily absorbed. You don't have runoff, which obviously we've dealt with over the years, nutrient runoff into waterways, and that is a heck of a lot more expensive to try and clean up downstream than it is right there at the source where it's happening. So that gives you an idea. So if you think about it, Randy, what we're doing is we're taking the negatives that are typically associated with cattle feeding, be it ammonia from an air standpoint, air quality standpoint, the methane typically associated with the greenhouse gases. We also put solar panels on all the southern-facing surfaces of the roofs on these barns. And you're talking about in the Bathgate operation, it'll be about 7 to 10 acres of barns. So we'll have solar on that. So we're creating solar electricity that we'll actually use in the facility. We're collecting that biogas and marketing that, collecting the ammonia that will be turned into ammonium bicarbonate or just sold as ammonia, as green ammonia for transportation fuel. I talked a little bit about the CO2. The excess CO2 that is not combined with the ammonia, we actually collect and we can sell that, turn that into a food-grade CO2 that is highly marketable. And last but not least, my favorite, because I'm an old meathead who loves to sell specialty meat products, we now have a truly sustainable beef product that we have completely traced from soil to stomach, from start to finish, that we can now sell at a premium to consumers. And today's consumer, driven by the Gen Zers and millennials that everybody likes to talk about, but this new consumer really expects these products to be sustainable. And I think that if we can actually verify, show them exactly what we've done to make this product completely different, I think it'll be a hit with today's consumer.
It sure sounds like it. Scalability, are you able to make it fit multiple different size operations?
Good, really good question. So to date, and we are just, I would say we're, not that we're, we'll never be at the end, but I mean, we have been operating, we started up in the summer, this past summer, a demonstration or R&D facility at Fair Oaks Farms in Indiana. And that is, that's a facility that we use just to what the financial folks call de-risking our technology, Bion's technology. So we actually take the digestate from Fair Oaks Farms, from the large dairy that operates there, and we run that through our system to capture that ammonia. And when we now we can tell you exactly how much ammonia we're capturing, the amount of CO2 with it, but also we've zeroed in on how much clean water we're actually creating out of that waste stream. And by the way, Randy, it's about 30%, which was our estimate, and that's exactly what Fair Oaks is showing us, that's what we'll get out of that. So we're going to convert 30% of that waste stream that goes into, and let's say it's that 15,000 head operation, and that's going to equate to about 9 million gallons of clean water that will come out of that operation on an annual basis. So today, we have focused on 15,000 head, and obviously we're talking beef. The equivalent in dairy, because of the volume of waste associated with dairy, that's probably about 4,000 or 5,000 dairy cows being milked would be about the equivalent in size to a 15,000 head beef operation. So the idea of scaling it down, and I've got to tell you, I'm working on with some partners in Georgia who want to scale it down to more of a probably 7,000 range. So we're working on it, but today we're not there yet to be able to definitively say that yep, that makes economic sense or that it's viable to do it economically, but we're working on it. And as funny as it may sound, it's easier for us to scale this technology up than it is to scale it down. But anyway, that's where we are. But I would bet you, Randy, that 2 years from now we'll be able to scale it up or down based on what we learn. So. Sure.
Yeah, it almost sounds like too. You could transfer it to not just cattle, but any other animal or any other product too.
Yeah. That's the thing. The technology and the patents are all around waste. It's not just particular to beef or to dairy or it could actually be human waste, but we have focused our attention throughout Bion's history on agriculture.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that sounds exciting. I guess glad to spend some time with you here this morning kind of talking about it. Did we cover everything that you wanted to cover?
I think so. Again, I think the important thing for people to understand is that often people refer to Bion as Bion Barns, because the barn is a critical part of our of the system, because we need to collect that waste. But Bion really is, I think the really cool thing that we've done is to try and create that circular ecosystem that lots of people in ag today are talking about and elsewhere. But in this situation, for example, at Dakota Valley Growers, I mean, that will be a really tight little ecosystem, because if you follow it, we're actually measuring and monitoring the soil that grows the corn or beans or whatever that is going into the feed, and all of that is being measured as it's as it's happening. And that's a different technology. The company called TransparencyWise, who we have partnered with to actually trace, and TransparencyWise uses blockchain to actually verify and control all of this data. And likewise, Randy, we're also working with some genetic folks on the genetics of the cattle, so that, again, we'll know basically before the calf is born how it should respond in the environments and when it would be finished. And again, every other input that is going into creating these cattle and thus the meat from it, we're measuring and monitoring. And I think that, we're unique in that.
Yeah, for sure. Not only that, too, but, cattle feeding up here, especially in North Dakota, northern Minnesota, hasn't, because of the winters, you're outside all the time, but with these barns, yeah, that takes care of that issue.
Yeah. Yep. So, and you and I were talking earlier, our focus, at least initially, now I've already told you that about a project in Georgia, but initially our thoughts were, let's take what I called our North 40 strategy, which is the 40th latitude, which is that runs right along Nebraska-Kansas border, and let's go north of that, of 40, so thus 40 north, because especially Iowa certainly has a lot of barns, but so does Minnesota has some, as well as the Dakotas. But that's where this is easily. We don't need to sell the idea of a barn to any of your listeners, basically. They know that that it would be basically required in order to create this business. And let me just say, Randy, that's when I say business, that's my hope is that 10 years from now, that those partners that we're working with, actually, if and when they decide they either want to pass it on to the next generation, or to if they wanted to sell it, that it could be sold as a normal business and not just as an ag asset, but that it's, I mean, you've got this system that is completely connected and verified and all of that, so that instead of selling it for the asset value, typically happens in agriculture, that you could actually sell it for a multiple of the EBITDA that the business creates, the profit that the business creates. So that's my hope, is that we can do that. So we create an economic solution in a big way for these feeders and ranchers and farmers. But the environmental impact is incredible, and the fact that we keep these problems that have always existed, and we keep those from harming the environment, and especially harming the air and the water downstream. So I think it's a real win. It's a win all the way around for everybody involved.
All right, sounds good. Bill, I appreciate the time here this morning. I thank you very much, and look forward to finding a little more about this too, I guess. Somebody has any information or wants some information from you, what do they need to do?
I think that probably the best way is just to call me. And my phone number is 813-505-7490. You can certainly go on buyonenviro.com. And look at the website, and you can connect with us on the website as well. But feel free to give me a call or to connect with us that way.
All right, Bill. Thanks much. Bill O'Neill, CEO with Bion Environmental Technologies.